And welcome to another edition of the Odyssey Radio Show. I'm your host, Mike Schultz. We talk about metaphysical and mystical topics. And today is all about personal development. I've invited on Wendy Williams. She's an expert life coach, and she has a master's degree in psychology. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Let's start with, I want to talk about a universal feeling we all have, and that's fear. When we walk into a new situation, even if it's something like a party or just walking to introduce ourselves to our neighbor for the first time, we all have fear, you know, or that first day on the job. Why don't you talk about if we can live life without fear and overcome this, or is this just something that's always with us?
Okay, it's a great question. I've been asked this before, is it really possible to live without fear? And my honest answer is, it is as possible as it is to be enlightened. And I like to think of it that way. So the truth of the matter is that most of us walking around on the planet right now will not be living without fear. However, it is a place that you can reach. Whether, you know, you're going to do it this life, well, who knows? Maybe some of us are closer to it than others. But typically, no, we're not going to live our lives without fear unless we're really highly, highly developed emotionally, mentally, and spiritually.
Okay, so can we get through events without being paralyzed by fear? How can we lessen it?
Oh, absolutely. One thing I do want to say is also that fear can be very positive. It is a preventative signal or alert, basically, for people. So if you're in a scary situation where you have a creepy person walking towards you, you feel fear and you want to cross the street, well, that's a lifesaver. And so fear can be a very positive thing in that way, a protective signal. And it is also a really fantastic personal growth tool. So when we start working with it, we tend to become stronger, positive, more peaceful people when we're willing to look at those fears that get us stuck and that aren't useful.
I see. So let's say a person is walking into a party, lots of new people, and they're consumed by fear, but they really want to get to know people all around the room. What can they do?
Oh, we can do all kinds of things. Besides my training in psychology, I also work with energy. So I teach people spiritual psychotherapy, basically, and I use a lot of energetic tools in order to manage fear. So if anybody out there listening, this is the time to get your pen and paper out and take some notes.
Okay.
When you're working with energy, one of the best ways to lessen or reduce the fear that you're feeling is to ground. Do you know what grounding is, Mike?
No, why don't you tell us?
Okay. Well, grounding is spoken of often in yoga and martial arts and also people who work with energy in meditation. And that is basically taking your core or your center. In martial arts, they call it your dantian. But often it's referred to as your center, where you hold your life force energy. And that is a bubble of energy that's just about 2 inches down from your belly button and towards the center of your body. And when you ground, you basically intend with your mind to send a beam of energy from that golden center, that golden ball in your body, all the way to the heart of the earth. And what that does is it creates a grounding cord from your body, inside your body, to the center of the earth, and it ignites or it starts a release mechanism so that out of your energy, your aura, your chakras, your emotional or mental energy, whatever it is that you'd like to release, it'll naturally flush down your grounding cord. Will also bring you present so that you're not worried about the future, a mistake of talking, saying the wrong thing to a person at a party, and you're not worrying about the past, with when you had an embarrassing disaster in a previous situation, you bring your focus present when you ground, and therefore you have less to deal with. So grounding is the number one tool, energetic tool to use in managing fear, and it is fabulous, really wonderful thing to do.
That makes a lot of sense. I've heard some people visualize that they're a tree trunk and they shoot the roots down in the earth for like a quick one, you know, to
Absolutely.
Manifest real quick.
Absolutely. And for anyone who's interested, I actually have a free seven-part meditation course on my website, meditationformastery.com. And in the first, lesson is a relaxation meditation, but the second lesson is a guided meditation for grounding. So if you just sign up there on the website, you can get a guided meditation on how to ground. And absolutely. The tree
we'll
meditation.
We've talked about that website a few times throughout the interview. Tell us a little bit about another technique called bubbles or cocoons.
Yeah. Many people who are aware of this one, too. Basically, around our physical bodies is an egg-shaped cocoon that's called our aura. And so what you can do, if you're in a situation where you're feeling a lot of negative energy, let's say you're at a business meeting. I've used this many times myself when I used to work in the corporate world. If I was feeling a lot of negative energy and I didn't want to react from what other people were feeling and thinking, I would simply intend with my mind, or in my mind's eye, visualize putting myself in a cocoon that's like the shape of an egg that has a couple layers on it. And I would make the outside layer dark blue, which on the energy level is a very protective kind of sealing color. And then on the inside of this protective filter that's the shape of a cocoon, I would make it gold, because gold is a universal healing energy associated with the earth. So I would just intend to have this filter, this egg-shaped cocoon around me. And oftentimes I would just simply say in my mind to myself, this filter will take any negative energy coming to me or from me, and it will transfer it down to my grounding cord so that I'm not interacting with it. And what that does is it helped me to be in a neutral place, even when I was surrounded with people who were in a very negative place, because I was no longer engaged in interacting or hooked by the negative feelings that they were feeling. Really,
that sounds like it would be pretty easy to visualize a large bubble.
Absolutely. Very simple, and at the very under your feet, under the bubble, is your grounding cord. And what happens is the earth literally will take energy that you funnel down through a grounding cord, and it will transform it into energy that it can use for growing things like the earth does. So you're never hurting the earth by sending, you know, those negative energies down there, because the earth will transform that energy for something useful.
That's great. Okay, why don't you tell us about another technique alleviating fear called pyramids?
Okay. Well, pyramids are very similar to bubbles, but I typically will use a pyramid if I'm in a situation that is very, very intense, and I want the feeling of putting myself in a fortress that nothing can break through. And so what I'll do then is intend or visualize a four-sided pyramid, just like the pyramids in Egypt, all around my body. And that is just a stronger, more powerful version of the cocoon or the bubble. But basically, again, it's an energetic filter. As I mentioned with the cocoon, I will set the intention of grounding or filtering out negative energy. I also, like with the pyramid, may ask for only love or positive thoughts or feelings to be filtered in to me. with this filter. I may set that as an intention. And sometimes, so it's helpful. And you can also say, from me, please only allow positive or love feelings that are from me out to other people. So it keeps you from sending out a lot of negativity that then gets bounced back, like typically happens in normal communication between humans. So you can protect yourself while you're protecting others too. So instead of...
Pardon me?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, they sound like good techniques when you're in big groups of people. Or, like you said, big business meetings. They're real quick, easy visual things you can do because so much energy is flying around the room.
Absolutely. You can use it anywhere. And I often, even when I'm meditating by myself, if I choose to interact with the non-physical world, I will always set up some kind of protection to make sure that whatever information or energies that I communicate with, that they're on the up and up and that they're filtered. It's just a nice, healthy, protective thing to do.
Okay, great. Why don't you tell us about another technique called mirrors? And we're just going over these briefly and give out the website again so people can get into more detail of these techniques and how to use them.
Sure. Yeah, you can get free guided meditations that I've created covering this topic at meditationformastery.com. And if you want more information about me, you can find it at realpowercoaching.com. But what mirrors do, and it's, you got to be a little careful with mirrors because it's a little more potent. But if you have created a cocoon or a pyramid of energy around you, sometimes I will intend to have the outside layer of that filter have a mirrored surface. And what that does is whatever's being sent to you basically gets reflected back to the person. So now, that can be very disruptive.
Use that wisely, right?
Exactly. Use it with caution and use it wisely. Because this is the deal with humans, and this is the psychology of it. Whenever you're in a certain dynamic with another person, if one of you changes the typical interaction, the other party unconsciously will escalate their behavior in order to bring you back to the normal type of interaction. So for an example, if you are in the habit of having a certain argument with your mother, let's say, and you're going to see your mother and you're thinking to yourself, boy, I really don't want to react negatively like I always do. I'm going to try this energetic protection thing. And you put up a pyramid and you put mirrors on it, whatever irritation your mother has been sending you is going to get reflected back to her without you saying a word. This will not make your mother very happy.
So she will start trying to engage in fighting more?
What will happen is, and what all humans do, is we will engage to get the habitual habit of interacting happening again.
Okay.
So if you're with a person who will, let's say something insulting, and then your habit is to say something defensive back, that would be the normal exchange, you know, like hitting a tennis ball back and forth over the court. If you choose not to say something, their first response is going to escalate to get you to do that same thing you've always done.
But then if you stay the course and you stay quiet, then what happens?
Then the dynamic changes. It's like throwing a new ingredient into a recipe. But you have to keep doing it in order to change the habit.
Okay, I want to give you a personal example because I'm going through this right now, okay?
Sure.
Like a lot of us who are metaphysical, we kind of like our quiet space at home, and sometimes when I'm meditating or just being quiet, I have a neighbor who's very noisy. He's a rock musician. And we've been going back and forth for several months. And I recently told him I'm just going to surrender. I'm not going to say anything anymore. Just be quiet. And he is acting up right now. He's starting to make more noise. So what would you suggest? I do a visualization or?
You know, this is the best thing to do is to ask whatever spiritual source that you are comfortable with, whether that's God, you know, the universe, angels, whatever, to continually bless that person.
Ah, okay.
Ask your source to bless that person on a daily basis.
When I haven't you do tried that.
Let me tell you, I have to tell you a story about this. One of the most fantastic things that ever happened to me. I got a job at a contract, and there was a person on this job who decided they didn't like what I was getting paid, and they had it out for me. And it went so far as for them to have meetings with my boss trying to get me fired.
Office politics.
Severe politics. So I tried having direct communication with this person because, you know, I like psychology and I'm going to handle it in a professional manner.
Uh-huh.
It didn't help at all. So finally, after about a month of trying everything I knew what to do directly with the person, I surrendered the problem to my higher power and started blessing them on a daily basis. Within a week and a half, the person had given their notice because they got another job.
Amazing.
So instead of working out their problem with me, they actually fixed their real problem.
Right, which they were unhappy with their job to begin with.
Exactly. And they were working out their angst with me. But when I stopped engaging, now they escalated first, but I was no longer responding. And the more I didn't respond, the more they had to really interact with themselves. And I just kept blessing them, bless them.
Well, how about doing a combination of blessing my neighbor but also doing a protective bubble? How about both?
You know, there's a really great thing that you can do that's called protection roses.
Okay.
And basically, if you put a cocoon or a bubble around you and you have a grounding cord, you can imagine that about 6 feet underneath your feet, so 6 feet down your grounding cord, you'll have two roses that come up on either side of you. And these roses, you know, roses are symbols for universal healing and universal love. So they will kind of rotate around you. If a person is clairvoyant or intuitive, they can actually see energetically these roses kind of rotating around your aura and your space. And you can hang signs on these roses and set an intention for the roses, for whatever it is that you want to bring into a situation.
Uh-huh.
So for you in particular, if you were to start your day by grounding, putting a protective cocoon, and then intending to have your protection roses up, I would hang a sign for exactly what you want. And you want to be clear that it's not what you don't want, but what you want. So
peace and quiet, sure.
Peace and quiet, exactly. Peace and quiet during my meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Try that and see what happens. See, hang a sign on your protection roses that says, peace and quiet during my meditation. And you will be surprised at how the energy around you, which includes all your neighbors, will align themselves with this intention that you set out.
I will definitely try that. By the way, you are a life coach, and you do phone consultations, isn't that correct?
I do.
Why don't you give us that info? We have a national audience, but you know, you're available by phone, so go ahead and give out that info.
Well, if anybody would like to get in touch with me to find out more about using energy or basically applied metaphysics, how to heal or engage in personal growth using metaphysical principles, you can call me at my toll-free number, which is 877-980-3434.
Anyone want to do that again?
Yeah, the phone number is 877 980-3434.
And we're up here in Portland, which is kind of a metaphysical paradise, actually. a lot of New Age people up here.
Absolutely fantastic.
Right. Let's talk about the Sedona method. I know a lot of people have ingrained fears that are very deep and negative thoughts, and I understand this is a very powerful method for releasing them. So I think one fear we all have, or most of us were taught, is that, like, money is scarce, money doesn't grow on trees, and rich people are evil. So maybe we could take something like that and kind of work on that and release it?
Absolutely. So there are several different methods for emotional release. Some of them are energetic, like ERT or EFT. Both of those techniques I use in my practice. ERT is a kind of energetic, I'm going to call it vacuuming. Say that again?
Oh, that sounds great.
It's fantastic. And people, you can do this at home. But if you're having a certain feeling, you can imagine it being a smoke and a certain color, and then literally imagine an angel or a guide or whoever you're comfortable with vacuuming that smoke out of the space of your body. And then when that space is cleared, you bring in universal love or joy, divine joy, or some other kind of energy to take its place. So that's ERT. EFT is emotional freedom technique, and that's the type of psychological acupressure, where you tap on acupuncture points with your own fingers while you're saying psychological affirmations. And I also practice that, and that is a fantastic tool for literally erasing. That's what clients have said to me. They'll have a negative feeling from a traumatic experience. We'll do a series of EFT, emotional freedom technique, and they will say to me, it's like you've erased the negative emotion. It's like you've erased the pain. I can't even make myself feel it anymore. And so that's another fantastic tool. If anybody wants to learn more about that, they can go to emofree.com. It's E-M-O-free, the word, .com. And then, as you mentioned, Mike, the Sedona method, that is by far the simplest, easiest emotional technique to
We like that.
Learn. Oh, so easy.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so what we like to do as a demonstration is if you have a pen, do you have a pen nearby, Mike?
Sure. Let's all grab a pen, everybody. Okay.
Grab a pen in your hand. And just hold it there. When you do the Sedona method, letting go of your negative emotions is as easy as turning your hand over so your palm is facing down and opening it up. And what happens?
My pen just
dropped. Exactly. That is how easy it is to drop any traumatic emotions with the Sedona method. And basically, the Sedona method is a series of three questions. It's nothing more than that. So what you do is you pick an issue, whatever it is that you'd like to feel less of. So you talked about money, Mike?
A lot of people have that. We kind of grow up with this, money is scarce and money doesn't grow on trees and that kind of thing. So that's kind of like an old fear I have, yeah.
Okay. So if you just take the phrase, I don't have enough money, and you think of that, you focus on that, and allow yourself to feel whatever you're feeling in this moment right now. So not what you felt yesterday or what you might feel in the future when your bills show up in the mailbox, but when you think that thought, I don't have enough money, what are you feeling right now in this moment? And you don't have to share that with me. Keep it to yourself. But just be clear about what you're feeling. And that can be either an emotion. It could be a physical sensation. Either way, it doesn't matter. So once you're clear.
I have it,
Are you clear? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So once you're clear on what you're feeling right now in this moment, the first question that you ask yourself is, can I just allow this feeling to be here?
Yes.
Good, good. And
although it's uncomfortable, sure.
Yeah. So another question you could ask as a starting question is, could I welcome this feeling? Which, of course, these first questions are an act of acceptance. So it's not putting any energy into resistance, because resistance builds what it is we're trying to get rid of, right?
Right, so, and we all run around in denial trying to bury feelings all the time. So that's why I love this method.
Absolutely.
It's like, welcome the uncomfortable feeling. Let it in. Feel it. Right. Okay.
Even if it's just for right now. And you can pick it up again later if you want to. So just for this moment,
sure.
Could I allow this feeling to be here? And then you can answer yes or no. And the great thing about the Sedona method is it doesn't matter if you answer yes or no. A release is possible with either answer. So just be honest to yourself. And then the next question that you ask is, am I willing to let this feeling go?
Okay.
Am I willing to let this feeling go? And again, you answer to yourself either a yes or a no.
That's a real soul-searching question, because a lot of people use things as excuses, and they may not be willing to let a feeling go.
Absolutely. And one of the keys to this process is to not analyze. You simply allow the answer to bubble up for you. That's right.
Just feel. Okay.
Exactly. Your consciousness will just tell you a yes or a no, and either one is okay. And then the last question is simply when, which is an invitation to let it go right now, just like you let go of the pen. So when, and then in your mind you think now. So let's go through that process again without my explaining everything along the way.
Absolutely. Let's just feel it. Okay.
All right. So pick an issue where you have a negative feeling that's getting in your way. And just allow yourself to feel whatever you're feeling in this very moment. And then ask yourself, could I welcome this feeling just for fun, just for now? Could I allow this feeling to be here? Am I willing to let this feeling go? And if yes, when? So how are you feeling, Mike?
Well, a little bit lighter. I mean, I know sometimes you have to do this a few times, but I hope the audience felt a little weight relieved off their shoulders, because I know I did.
Fantastic. And that's part of the process. You just simply ask yourself these three questions over and over again until you feel complete. And each time it gets a little lighter and a little lighter and a little lighter. And each time you release a little bit more. Sometimes it only takes one cycle through the questions. Sometimes it takes many cycles. But it's so simple and so profoundly effective. It's quite amazing.
Absolutely. Now, we're winding down a few more minutes, but I want to get to spiritual assistance. What if, you know, you're really in trouble in a really tough situation? How can you ask the universe for, you know, specific spiritual assistance?
Well, everyone has very different belief systems and structures. But for me personally, I have found and discovered in talking with different clients also that oftentimes if we are having a difficult emotion or a difficult situation or fearful situation, and we are trying to let go of that feeling or move away from it or avoid it in some way, that our own efforts at times aren't very effective. And again, that's part of resisting creating more of what it is that we're avoiding. You know, if you resist, it persists, basically.
Uh-huh.
So what I will do is I will call on the Archangel Michael. And the key to remember about angelic assistance specifically is they will not interfere unless you ask. So if I'm faced with a dark energy or a situation energetically that doesn't feel right to me, I will immediately call in the Archangel Michael and his band of mercy, which is basically his army,
sure,
and ask him to simply only allow enlightened energy or enlightened beings to interact with me. And if there are any other kinds of beings that are malevolent around, to escort them to appropriate sanctuary. Or I will ask the Archangel Raphael to escort the being to appropriate healing that it needs so that it can receive whatever it is it's trying to get from me. And in that way, I don't attach myself to the negative thought form or the negative energy or even the negative being that happens to show up. I basically hand them over to the highest divine assistance for their greatest good. And that always works. In the non-physical realms, everyone knows the Archangel Michael, and nobody messes with him.
He's top dog, huh?
He's a top dog. So, and, you know, he can be omnipresent, so never feel like you'll be a burden. Call on his assistance, and help will be there. Absolutely, without a doubt. It has never failed.
It's interesting. I was recently at a meditation, and people were seeing the other side, and they were talking about Raphael and how busy his office is. It's like a huge hospital or doctor's office with, you know, guys rushing in and out. So, so do you recommend the Doreen Virtue, the angel books, perhaps, to find out a little bit more about these spiritual guides? And
absolutely. In fact, it was my reading Doreen Virtue's book that where I first learned about the Band of Mercy. But I had always been aware of the archangels, and Michael and Raphael in particular. Gabriel is also a great angel to work with. He is the bringer of light. So, yeah, to learn all about the archangels, absolutely. There's a fantastic book by the name of Divine Guidance. I think that's the title of it, from Doreen Virtue, that can teach you all about the archangels and working with them. She's fantastic.
Definitely. Well, I tried to be the everyman during this session, so it's almost like, you know, it was a personal life coaching session on the phone. And
absolutely.
So it's great. It's really great. So the audience got a taste of what you do. So before we have to move on to our next segment, why don't you just tell us one more time how we can reach you, and maybe we'll get you on the network at some point.
Oh, that would be great. Again, my phone number, if anyone wants to talk to me personally, is 877-980-3434. And you can look me up online at realpowercoaching.com. And you can get a free guided meditation class at meditationformastery.com.
So, Wendy Williams, thank you for being with us, and I will see you out and about at Portland. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. That was a great interview, and it will be a permanent part of the archives. So go to Odyssey, and you can check that out next week. I actually have 30 shows up on the archive now, and I really invite you to dive into my back catalog. And, you know, I try to bring you something really exciting and unique and different each week. I really do a lot of behind-the-scenes work to try to find the best of the best. And I saw her speak a few weeks ago, and I knew I had to get her on the air. Just an amazing person, Wendy Williams. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit about what's in the news this week, and then we'll have my co-host on, Candia Sanders, a live intuitive, and you will all get free live readings. This is a wonderful opportunity, so get the phone numbers ready in about 10 minutes. We'll do it, okay? So the big news this week is this real push to create a North American Union. And I don't talk about politics too much, but this is really important. I do have to mention it. And this has long been a goal behind the scenes of the Council on Foreign Relations and a lot of these powerful groups. And that's fine if they want to do it out in the open. And if Americans want it, that's fine. But that's not what's happening. It's all being done behind the scenes. And there's a huge amnesty of people who are here illegally that they're trying to push right now, an immigration bill through the Senate. I found out the Heritage Foundation estimates this bill would cost the American middle class $2.5 trillion. That's trillion with a T. You can check that out at Heritage Foundation. And so this is, it's really important. I normally don't call my senators, but I've been calling them this week, and it's really important, the audience, we really call our senators and House members and let them know that this is inappropriate. And a good website to join is called numbersusa.com. That's numbersusa.com, and they'll tell you who to call and where. And this is just a big push to create an economic zone from the bottom of Mexico to the top of Canada. And we actually already have a very generous legal immigration system. This is all about illegal immigration. And once they get this economic zone, that will be the end of the United States. They've already done it in Europe. They've created the European Union. And you may want to call some of your friends in Europe if you know of anybody, but they all feel very disappointed in this trade agreement that turned into a giant government. And they no longer have individual sovereign countries or individual representation. There's about 40 countries in this giant European Union. And that's what we would have. We would have a huge bureaucracy, a huge economic zone, and it really would mean the end of the middle class and a great depression of our wages. So we've already lost a lot of jobs. They've gone overseas through free trade agreements like NAFTA, and we keep insourcing cheaper labor, and it's just a recipe for disaster. So once again, I don't get political too often, but this is really important. And so go to numbersusa.com. That's numbersusa.com. And call your senators and House members to stop this this immigration amnesty. The other big story this week, and this ties into my DVDs. My latest DVD is called The Temple of Stone, and I really get into the issue of chemtrails and sylphs. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. So if you want to buy my latest DVD about ancient mysteries, it's $15. It's at fountainsofuse.net. Or just check out the main page and click on Odyssey and my radio show, and you will find it. So chemtrails started about 10 years ago in 1997. It was aerial spraying, very thick clouds and vapor trails over many major cities all around the world, actually, and out in the country and everywhere. It was a massive major operation. It's very real. The mainstream media has covered it, actually. I saw a headline in Las Vegas in the newspaper when I was down there covering chemtrails. Unfortunately, they fired the reporters a few days afterwards. But Dennis Kucinich, a congressman, has introduced a bill many years ago to try to stop chemtrails. And these are not a normal chemtrail disappears in 30 seconds if it's a regular plane, but a chemtrail that's artificial will spread out throughout the day, throughout many hours, and become a thick cloud. And you'll notice in the morning, wherever you live, it's generally blue skies, and then by the afternoon, there's this thick, hazy, silky, artificial cloud cover caused by all these airplanes. So the good news is that the metaphysical community is calling upon the sylphs, and the sylphs are the sky spirits. You can call on them right now, anytime, anywhere, and there's pictures of them in my DVD of the sylphs. They look like origami animals. They look like whooping cranes and dolphins and seahorses. They're silky clouds. They will march across the sky if you call upon them, and you have to call them, okay? They won't do it unless you call. And they will break up the chemtrails. And I did not believe this. I thought this was crazy until I actually saw it. Like, not even the first, second, or third time, I didn't believe it. I did not believe it with my own eyes. Maybe by the fourth time, I finally started to believe it. So you can call upon these sylphs, and they are benevolent, helpful spirits in the sky, and they will break up the chemtrails. It's spelled S-Y-L-P-H-S. Once again, you can see pictures of them on my latest DVD, The Temples of Stone. And go to my website, fountainsofuse.net, to check that out. And there's also something called a chemtrail buster. It's a copper wire. I don't have a scientific mind, so I don't really understand it, but it's a copper sculpture or wire that you can buy and put in your backyard, and they do break up the chemtrails. So you just have to type that in your search engine on the computer. Type in chemtrail busters or type in sylphs, S-Y-L-P-H-S. So pretty soon, Candia is coming on the air, and this is your time to get a free psychic intuitive reading. Candia likes to be called an intuitive psychic. It's kind of an old-fashioned word. So she'll be coming on and joining us soon, and then we'll open up the phone lines. So in the meantime, boy, the other big news is, you know, it's so exciting that David Icke was on the BBS radio network this week. And I strongly encourage everyone to check out this interview. It's 2 hours with David Icke. It's spelled I-C-K-E. My personal opinion is he is the most dynamic speaker in the world today. He speaks for 8 hours at a time, if you can imagine, and it's mesmerizing. You don't get tired. I heard him speak in Los Angeles for 8 hours, and with breaks, of course, but he's mesmerizing. He explains, oh my goodness, he goes all the way back to the ancient mystery schools of Egypt and brings it forward up into today, and talks about many different aspects of the matrix and how we can pull ourselves out of the matrix and see what's really happening on this planet. So David Icke, definitely go to the main page and check out that interview, or just go to his website, which is linked up to the BBS radio main page, davidicke.com. I go to him every day for my headlines. I don't watch the corporate filtered news. I get most of my headlines from David Icke. He really will tell you, you know, what's really going on in the world today, and it won't be, you know, some Hollywood star was in a drug bust. It's not that kind of nonsense that they keep throwing at us. It's the real news, like things like chemtrails. And he had a really good video of 911. It was a video that was only shown on that day, September 11th, 2001. You can check it out right now at his site. And it showed the initial newscasters who went to Pennsylvania, and all they saw was a small hole in the ground. It was 20 feet across and 10 feet wide. And little bits and pieces. It wasn't like a normal plane crash. It's mind-blowing to see this video. Once again, this video was never shown again, just one time on the news. So, you know, so many of us feel that something very different happened that day, that the corporate media really did not accurately report or investigate what actually happened that day. But see for yourself, it's just a bizarre empty hole in Pennsylvania for Flight 93, and then little tiny, tiny bits and pieces, and they never found any engines or any of the normal horrible debris that you would find in a plane crash. So that's just one small example of what David Icke has on his site. So, you know, he's really been covering 911 over the past 6 years and really gotten deeply involved in that issue and even wrote a great book on it. The other big news is with Rosie O'Donnell has left her television show, but they didn't report the real reason why she left. They kept saying, oh, she had a fight with her co-host. That's not why she left. Last Thursday, she was supposed to have on as a guest William Rodriguez. He was the last man out of the World Trade Center, the very last man out alive. He dove under a fire truck, and everyone else was demolished, and he survived. And what he was going to say on the Rosie O'Donnell show, The View, was that there was a bomb, a huge bomb, that went off before the plane hit, about 30 seconds before the plane hit. And they all ran down to the basement, and all these people were burned from these bombs and explosions in the basement of the building. And the networks did not want that to go out over American airwaves. Now, he's been on mainstream news in other countries, especially in Latin countries, because he speaks Spanish. And many other countries know about this, but America is still filtered. We still have this heavy filter over the five or six main networks. So they canceled the show. Bush all of a sudden had a hasty press conference, although there was no breaking news. They ran him out to the Rose Garden, and he kind of went over the same war in Iraq stuff. But there was no need for that press conference. But they did it during The View. They did not want this man, the last man out of the World Trade Center, to tell his story. And there's many, many eyewitnesses that talk about bombs going off and firefighters. And, gosh, probably the best website would be just to go to 911truth.org to start looking into that, or just see the film. There's some good free films online. One's called Loose Change, of course, or Loose Change Number 2. Those are free. From Freedom to Fascism, there's really great films and clips you can see online for free. So I'm not certain, actually, if Candia will call in. She normally calls by now, but she has a very busy schedule, and if she doesn't, then that's okay. Then I'll finish off the show. But if she does call in, get ready for your live intuitive readings. And normally she's every Monday at 8:40 is when she comes on. And so that's the best time. And normally, you know, she charges, I think, about $100 an hour. And it's well worth it, of course. That's the going rate for her private phone readings. But you can get a sample reading for free normally Monday nights at 8:40 p.m. So next week I have a really great guest who's going to talk all about Lemuria. So during the week, it might be kind of cool if my audience, who loves ancient mysteries, really gets into the Lemuria material. It's spelled L-E-M-U-R-I-A. And that is supposedly a mythical, legendary continent that used to be in the Pacific Ocean. It was a very large island and was very peaceful, benevolent, and advanced people, who I believe were the Anunnaki, this advanced group that used to be on the planet. And they used all kinds of crystal technology. Edgar Cayce's done some readings about them, but not too many. And the reason why, he says, is because they did not incur a lot of karma. They really did not have to reincarnate on this planet because they were so peaceful and advanced. They moved on to other dimensions or whatever, but did not need to come back to planet Earth like a lot of the people in Atlantis, who apparently were a bit more warlike and had some more difficult issues. So anyway, this was this large, flat continent called Mu or Lemuria. And my guest next week, Frank Joseph, believes that a little bit of Lemuria is still left. There's a very intriguing, fascinating island called Easter Island in the middle of the Pacific. And there's all these very strange, giant, large stone statues that are indicative to a lot of us of advanced technology and advanced cultures. Some of them weigh, you know, 50 tons or 60 tons, and they're all over this island. Very bizarre. And they have an ancient language that nobody else used called Rongo Rongo. And so some of us that study this issue believe Easter Island is that last little tip of Lemuria that was left behind. And some people feel Hawaii is also one of the last little tips of Lemuria, of this beautiful paradise. And certainly the Hawaiians believe in this magical continent. If you hear their great flood stories talked about by the Hawaiian elders, they talk about before the flood and the catastrophe that there was this mythical enchanted island, and that a lot of them escaped at the last minute. They went to Hawaii or Easter Island, just a few of these, you know, tiny little spots that were left behind. And some went to Peru, actually, which is where Machu Picchu is, and another one of these ancient ruins where many advanced formations and statues and buildings were left behind. So I really dig into this in my first DVD, which is called The Sands of Time. I have pictures of Easter Island, of Peru, of ancient monuments all over the world, and pyramids. It's amazing how this similar architecture and structure and the ball and socket construction of the pyramid was used all over the world by supposedly different people speaking different languages at different times in history. So I believe a third party was involved who helped them build all these similar pyramids. And I lay out the whole ancient astronaut theory. Of course, other people have laid it out too, but I feel like I do it visually and lay it out in a clear, concise way. So that's my first DVD, The Sands of Time, and I really encourage the audience to go to my website and purchase that, because each week we talk about ancient mysteries on our show, and this is really the best overview. So go to fountainsofyouth.net. That's fountainsofyouth.net. And you can check out the first DVD, The Sands of Time, which is an overview of the ancient astronaut theory, and the second DVD, which talks about ancient monuments in the Pacific, in Japan underwater, and in Cambodia, in Angkor Wat. And, of course, next week, while we talk about Lemuria, we're also going to talk about these ancient monuments found off the coast of Japan. The very last island is called Yanaguni, and about 500 feet underwater, there is a giant temple or a ceremonial complex that's been found. Now, Japan was, at one time, it wasn't just a string of islands. It was one large crescent or body of land. But that was a very long time ago. That was 12,000 years ago. So the idea, and this has shaken up a lot of traditional scientists, is that this ruin or relic that was found, Yanaguni, is 12,000 years old. It's older than Sumeria and Egypt and all of those societies. So it really kind of changes the timetable or pattern. And this is consistent with my studies that there were a lot of advanced buildings and temples and civilizations all around the world, but there was a pole shift in around the year 10,000 BC. And two of the continents were submerged, Atlantis and Lemuria. And once again, this is all theory, of course, but a lot of my research seems to point in this direction, to this story. And then some new continents in America and Europe were emerged out of the water. So some, and that explains kind of this sudden thrust up of the mountains. And so Yanaguni has amazing all kinds of, you know, stairways and steps that you can still see, and platforms that are clearly carved out and artificial. Once again, 500 feet below water, up into about 15 feet below the surface. And they were only found in the 1980s, actually, by a scuba diver who stumbled upon the complex, if you can imagine that. And Graham Hancock and David Childress and a lot of the leading researchers in the ancient astronaut field have, of course, gone underwater and found as much as they can that indicates these ancient societies. And so there is a lot of speculation that this ruin off of Japan was one of the temples of Lemuria. So it's very fascinating to dig into this subject, of course. And so anyway, you know, each week I try to tell you a little bit more and more about the ancient mysteries and the ancient astronaut theory. So I'll wind down tonight talking a little bit about tarot cards. I'm actually running out. As soon as the show's over, I read tarot in Portland at a local coffee house. And I would love to read tarot for you over the phone. It's very enlightening. It's really important sometimes to just get a neutral, independent, outside third party to do a tarot reading for you over the phone. And it does work as well over the phone as it does in person. The energy is still transmitted. And sometimes we're so close to our own problems, it's really hard to be objective. And so if you can find a person like myself who's a very sensitive individual who can lay out the spreads in regards to your specific questions, if you're on a crossroads in your life, if you don't know if you trust a person or you can't understand a situation, you can kind of formulate or mold a specific question for the tarot and then ask me over the phone and I will do a session for you. And I always like to kind of head off a crisis, or I hate to see people spin their wheels. For instance, let's say somebody's going to go to law school or something and spend 4 years doing it, but deep down inside they really don't want to do it. I mean, I'd rather do the tarot reading up front before they go through the 4 years of law school or med school or something and do some big project that they really didn't even want to do in the first place. So tarot helps peel back the onions and get to your root feelings, to really strip away all of the mirrors and the illusions and the denial and get to the real reasons of what motivates people and the real reasons why things happen to us, whether it's good things, job promotion or travel, or bad things like breaking up in a relationship. I mean, there's metaphysical reasons for all of this, even like car accidents or, you know, plane crashes or what have you. There's metaphysical reasons for all of this and lessons to be learned. So tarot really points that out. And so go to my website, and it's a free long-distance call. I will call you back, and we'll do a session over the phone, fountainsofyouth.net. That's fountainsofyouth.net. So we're winding down now. Odyssey's the last show of the evening on Monday night, and every Monday we're here. I usually do an interview from 8 to 8:40, and some metaphysical expert, and then Candia, the intuitive psychic, comes on at that point, and we'll do live readings. That's our format as of right now. And once again, this week, check out Lemuria. You can start online, maybe searching around, and maybe find some good books on Lemuria, because that's our topic next week. And then, once again, go to numbersusa.com to really tell our Congress people what we feel about illegal immigration and not just allowing, you know, millions and millions to come in. You know, we already have a system that works, and we don't need to break any laws or rules. And people, it's unfair to the people who came here legally to really kind of destroy and throw out the whole system. And the last website to check out is davidicke.com. Once again, I believe the most dynamic, exciting speaker in the world, and he will challenge you on every level. It's spelled I-C-K-E, so check out davidicke.com and listen to his interview online at bbsradio.com. So I'm your host, Mike Schultz. Thanks for joining us with another wonderful hour of Odyssey, and we'll see you next time. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.